today as we come to the table.
Pharaoh would certainly not let them go unless God made him let them go. He says, then they're going to know that I'm God because they're going to see what I do in Egypt and they're going to see what I do in Pharaoh. It's interesting. There's more than one purpose for God letting his people go free here in Egypt. Because notice what he says. He says, I'll bring out the children of Israel from among them and the Egyptians shall know. The Egyptians shall know. So note this. God wasn't just setting free the children of Israel. God was being a witness to the Gentiles. So what is my point in that? When God saves us, he's not just setting us free, which I'm very thankful for, but God is letting the world around us know there's a God in heaven who sets people free.
God is going to move. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, believe that. God is going to move in your life, in your trial, in this world, and he'll do it exactly as he knows is best. And you can trust that it's the best solution. How can you be sure of that, though? Pastor Mark will tell you today, it's because you see it happening again and again in the Bible. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Don't worry today about the circumstances surrounding you. Give it to the Lord and jump into the Word. You'll find the strength and comfort you crave right now as you read about how faithful and good God is. Pray often and trust God's got this. Having said that, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 7 as he begins his message, Swallowing the Serpent.
Exodus chapter 7. As we've made it all the way up to Exodus 7, I say all the way up. You know, whenever you do these book studies, it seems like it takes a while to get through them, but that's all right because we really get to soak in God's word and just kind of take our time through it. Tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. I want to read just the first few verses, kind of give it a running go, and then we'll pray and ask God just to really open his word to us tonight. Who needs to be encouraged tonight? Yeah, I can see that. A lot of people need to be encouraged. Your hearts are in different places. I have nothing to offer you tonight. But God does. The Lord does by his Holy Spirit. And by the word of God, and I'm trusting and believing because of his deep love for you that he's going to say tonight what you need to hear. Amen. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I've made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. And you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Tonight is kind of an interesting title to it, Swallowing the Serpent. Now that'll make more sense as we get farther into the passage. But those of you that know this passage know what I'm talking about. Tonight we're going to be looking at the whole episode where Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh on the whole serpent thing, right? And so the snake thing where, you know, he throws the rod down, it becomes a snake, and then the other snakes are thrown down, or the rods, and they become snakes, and this whole thing where he swallows them up and all. And so just a powerful, powerful passage. But really, what was in my heart tonight when I began to study this a couple of days ago, getting ready for tonight, really just looking over this was, you know, swallowing the serpent. What a great picture that is of what God has done for us as believers. And that is the serpent being used in this analogy tonight. The serpent should be very, you know, all of us that have walked with the Lord any length of time, we know who that represents. The serpent in Scripture represents Satan himself. And this whole picture tonight of Moses' serpent swallowing up the serpents of Pharaoh, showing the authority of God over the false gods of the world, and more importantly, over the authority of Satan himself, is really a picture of what God has given us as believers in the ability to defeat Satan, to swallow the serpent and to destroy him in our life. Now, there's several things Satan doesn't want you to know. We could have a whole teaching on things Satan doesn't want you to know. But the one we're going to see tonight, this is something that he really doesn't want you to know. And that is, you have authority and power over him. Now, I know if you've been walking with the Lord any length of time, you know that. You know you have power and authority over the enemy. You know, it's like, oh, that's no surprise. If you're an unbeliever and you're hearing this, you're probably thinking, well, no, I didn't know that. I thought that Satan and God were equal and depending on whether you're a believer. No, Satan and God are not equal. Satan is a created being. God is the creator. So just try to imagine something you created being greater than you. Now, the analogy doesn't really hold very good because I guess as mankind, we can create computers and maybe cars or whatever, you know, and they may be greater, you know, than us in some degree as far as the power they have or the ability to do certain functions in a certain amount of time. But as far as the creator of the universe who has all power and all authority and has created all things, there is none greater. Satan is a created being. He is no more than an angel. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that once we're in heaven, just our natural being, who we are in our new bodies, we will be greater than the angels. So right now as man, we're lower than the angels. But in Christ, the Bible says we have authority over the fallen angels, the demonic realm, Satan. They have to heed Jesus Christ. And since Christ lives in us and we can walk in that authority, they have to yield to the Lord who lives in us. But once we get in heaven, we're actually going to be, even I say without the Lord, we'll be greater than the angels on our own merit simply by God's design. And then, of course, the Lord is the one that gives that strength and that power, and he gets all the glory for that. But I think you follow the point that I'm making. But one of the things that Satan does not want you to know is that you have power over him. That is why whenever you begin to get in the Word, there are billions of interruptions. That is why whenever you begin to pray, that is his most fearful moment, because you might actually pray with conviction and mean it, and then he'll begin to stir the angels and do all this. And suddenly, the next thing you know, the enemy's defeated. God sends in all the forces and he's wiped out. So he hates that. And so when you begin to pray, all the distractions begin to come. And we've talked about that before. You guys know how that is. And I think sometimes we forget that we have this authority. So tonight, God is going to remind Moses and Aaron, and God is going to remind us of this wonderful and powerful truth. We have authority over the serpent. And this is will be very important for the rest of the encounters with Pharaoh and the unbelieving Egyptians, because God's going to use it as a testimony to them as well. Now, if we truly understood the power that we have over Satan as believers, none of us in this room would be in bondage tonight. That also means we have to make a choice. Now, we can have the power that's available, and there's two things that can happen to keep us from having freedom from some bondage in our life. One is we just don't use the power. We don't ask God to do it. We don't seek God for that power to have victory in that. The other is maybe we don't really believe or we don't want it. So we don't really make the right choice that's needed for that. We kind of enjoy that sin. We enjoy that bondage to sin. And so we're not really asking God to set us free. But if we want to be set free, God has given the power to do it. You know, we were having a discussion this week about the difference between viewing man's efforts to set people free. You know, you go to the counseling session and they have all these methods to set you free, as compared to God's method to set you free. See, man's method is to give you a bunch of things you need to do to somehow get to free. And I'm not saying there aren't things we need to maybe rearrange in our life to be free and to have benefits and grow and this kind of thing in our life. But if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. I remember coming out of the whole background of the sin that I was in, you know, the whole mess that I got myself involved in. And the Lord just set me free. I came to God and I gave my life to him and he just set me free. Boom, God's power set me free in that. And I remember having to go to these, you know, things where they would, you know, you have to sit there and talk about your higher power or whatever. And it really struck me, you know, as I was listening to the whole higher power discussion, I began to realize, you know, my truck is a higher power. A washing machine, ladies, a washing machine is a higher power than you are. I mean, you may be quite the dancer, but you can't sit there and move all those clothes, you know, for that long. You know what I mean? You're going to get worn out. That thing can do that all day. Just, yeah, you know. Clothes in there dancing, right? So I realized a higher power is not what I need. There are piles of things that are a higher power than me. What I need is somebody that can set me free. That's Jesus Christ. God wants the Egyptians to know this as well. And so we're going to see that he not only shows these things to Moses, the power of God and God's authority over the enemy, but he's also going to let the Egyptians see this as well so they can be free, those who want to, from their bondage. And it's pretty cool because by the time Moses leaves, there's a bunch of the Egyptians that go with him. So obviously that was a great impact from Moses' ministry, even though it was limited there and it was mostly, you know, the plagues, but God used it. And so it's time we understand God's power and learn to walk in God's power. And instead of being swallowed up by the enemy, we find that we're swallowing him up. And that's an exciting thing. And that's what God, again, is going to do for Moses tonight. So notice there in verse 1. So as we left off last time, remember, Moses had already been to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had rejected Moses. Moses had now been rejected by the people. God is sending him back to Pharaoh. And he's had that whole argument, you know, I can't speak good and all that. He did that same argument he did earlier. And God says, just go and do what I say. And so the Lord said to Moses there in verse 1, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. Now, this doesn't mean that God was saying that Moses was God or that Moses could be a God or like God. He's saying, I'm making you in picture here like God because you're going to be my spokesman. I'm going to speak to you. And then you're going to tell it to Pharaoh. And since you're afraid to tell it to Pharaoh because you think you're not a good public speaker, I've given you Aaron and he'll be like your prophet. So even as I, God, speak to the prophets and the prophets speak to the people, you're going to be the one I speak to. Then you'll speak to Aaron who will be like your prophet and Aaron will tell Pharaoh the message. So God was giving Moses this out because he was afraid and he was nervous and all this stuff as far as how to do it. And notice what he says to him in verse 2. He says, you shall speak all. Did I emphasize that enough? Dramatic pause. I have it underlined. You shall speak all that I command you. Why do I have that underlined and I'm emphasizing that so much? Because I know that we're often tempted to not say everything God has said to us when it comes to our sharing times with others. I know I'm guilty of it. Maybe you guys aren't, but I'm guilty of it. There have been times I wish I had said something or maybe not done something or maybe whatever the case might be. God says, I want you to do everything I tell you. Don't leave any of it out because all of it's important. And I want you to give the full witness and the full gospel. Now, remember last time he said Moses and Aaron to him, and we're not positive on this, but it appears in scripture that he didn't exactly present it properly to Pharaoh. God just said, Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go, or I'm going to send plagues. I'm going to judge Egypt. Well, Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, you know what? God said, let the Jews go, or God's going to judge us. The Jews too. Well, there's no indication that God said that in the text anywhere. And so what it appears like is that when Moses went in there, maybe he was intimidated. Maybe he just was afraid to come across too hard. Whatever the case was, he did not give the pure message, I believe, that God told him to give. And so God says, now this time, Moses, when you go back, and you and Aaron, don't change it. Don't water it down. Don't make it, you know, whatever. Give all the message, every bit of it that I say, not just part of it. Even if it makes you feel uncomfortable, give it all. And again, there's a real temptation when the pressure's on to soften the word of God, especially when you know someone that is hearing it will be very possibly offended or upset. You ever felt that feeling? They're going to be offended. They're going to be upset. And you find yourself backing off from what you should say. But we still are commanded to say it all, even the hard things. Now, he says, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. Now, he's going to give, you know, more details in a moment, but he's saying, here's the message. You give him every bit of it. Don't hold back. And so even if it's hard and you feel uncomfortable or whatever, now, but let me give this balance. It doesn't mean that we're to be obnoxious or rude when we do it. When they stood before Pharaoh, they didn't name call and they weren't rude and they didn't yell at him and they didn't do all that. They simply said the truth of what God told them to say. I think that's how we're commanded to say it to people as well. We speak the truth in love. What does it say? Paul said in Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Let me read it to you and you can jot it down to look at later if you like. Paul says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Here it is, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So yeah, we speak the truth. We have to speak the truth in love, not in obnoxiousness or in rudeness, which a lot of people do. And I think young believers do that. I remember as a young believer, I was very obnoxious. I mean, what I was saying was true. I remember someone in my family that I love very much. And I remember going to him and just boom, 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 boom. And everything I said was right on. It was just like, yes, yes, yes. But it was, you got it? And I beat him to death with the truth of God's word. And so the response was just this, and this wall goes up and this hardening. I'm like, you know, I told the truth, Lord. I did what you told me, you know. And I was a baby Christian, okay? So God has grace on that. And I remember looking back and going, God, you know, have mercy on my foolishness and my immaturity. Don't let my immaturity stop your work in that person's life. But I got a chance to go to that person later and say, you know what? I want to ask your forgiveness. Now, note this. I didn't ask forgiveness of what I said. I asked forgiveness of how I said it. Because what I said was true. I couldn't go and say, please forgive me of telling you all those glorious truths about the Lord and the fact that you need to repent and you're a sinner. Forgive me of that. No, I'd have said, you know what? I approached you in a very wrong way. I was young in the Lord. It was wrong. I was harsh. That's not how God does it. And I want to ask you forgiveness. And they gave that forgiveness and it built a restoration in our relationship. So the key is speaking this. So if you've done that, you know, Don't beat yourself up. Ask for God to give you the grace to maybe go and ask forgiveness of the way you've presented it, or maybe a way to rebuild that or whatever. Don't take back what you said, because the truth needs to be said. Don't soften the message from its truth. Soften the message in the approach. You know, spoonful of sugar, you know, makes the medicine go down. Verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Guys, note this. God says he will harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, we're going to get to this later, but I'm going to address it now because it kind of jumps out. What do you mean he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart? If God hardens Pharaoh's heart, is it really fair that he judged Pharaoh because God hardened Pharaoh's heart? What choice did Pharaoh have? This is where you have to understand the word that's used here in the Hebrew and understand God and the way that God deals. We will see throughout this process, God dealing with Pharaoh, that as he tests Pharaoh, each time Pharaoh continues to harden his heart. But it also tells us that God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. What the word means there in the language is not that God is choosing to harden Pharaoh's heart and that's just it. Pharaoh can do nothing about it. What the word means is, all right, Pharaoh has made his choice and I'm going to agree with it. You see the difference? Pharaoh's the one who chose to harden his heart. And Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. I believe it's some 10 times that we see Pharaoh harden his heart until finally, this is kind of a precursor to what God's going to do long term. Finally, God says, and the Bible says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And what that means is God gave Pharaoh every chance over and over and over and over. And finally, when Pharaoh wouldn't repent, what did God do? God said, all right, if that's what you want, I'm going to solidify your decision. And that's really what the word means, a solidification of the decision of the person choosing to harden their heart. And so don't be stumbled by this, because you're going to see this throughout where it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Like I said, we'll see it numerous times. And I think some people stumble at this because they don't understand the heart of God, and they don't understand the wording here that God is allowing Pharaoh to harden himself. And God is basically just agreeing with that. He says, you know, harden his heart. I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Notice God says, I'll multiply signs and wonders in Egypt. I love it. Because the word sign here means a distinguishing mark. In other words, God says, get this. God is saying, I am going to multiply distinguishing marks that set me apart from every other god or anything that is natural, so that everybody that sees it will go, that's God. That's the Lord. You ever had those things happen? Where it's done in such in a way that it can only be attributed to God. There is no mistake that it is God. And I love it when God does that. He says, these are the kind of signs I'm going to work in, where only you can only say that it's God. There's no other explanation. But notice, even with that, but Pharaoh, have that underlined. Why? Verse 4, but Pharaoh, he will not eat you. You mean God's going to show Pharaoh distinguishing marks that God is the one doing this, that it's undeniably supernatural and it's God, and Pharaoh's still going to ignore it? Yes. And there are many people like that today. No matter what you show them, no matter what they see, they make up their mind, I'm not going to believe. It's not that they can't believe, they won't. And he says, this is Pharaoh. So that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. Again, notice God again refers to his followers as an army. I love that, because I think about us being an army. You know, it kind of makes me, some of you guys are soldiers, so you really are trained. So I'm not giggling at you guys, but the rest of us, I'm kind of giggling at us, you know. I mean, we're an army, come on. Here's why we're an army. Not because we know how to handle the weapons or this kind of thing, and we're ready to go to battle on some battlefield in a fleshly or physical sense, but spiritually, you're the army of God. And even the most infant prayer is the greatest weapon of warfare in the spiritual realm. I'll never forget this guy that we were doing ministry in prison one time, and there was this great big guy, and I don't even know what he was in there for. I don't remember. He may have shared what he was in there for. And there was a chapel service. And so the pastor that was sharing there at the chapel service said, all right, and those of you who want to receive Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And this guy was kind of sitting over the side of me, kind of behind me, you know, and you kind of keep your eye there, you know, as you're kind of watching, you know, the guys around you. And all of a sudden he says, now pray this prayer, if you will give your life to Christ. Dear Lord, you know, this huge, loud voice. This was a monster of a guy. He was huge. Come into my heart, you know, and it's like, whoa. So it was an exciting moment to hear this guy, you know, this huge guy giving his life to the Lord, but hearing him in the rough, the innocency but sincerity of his prayer. He wasn't eloquent. He hadn't learned all the Christianese, and you know, it wasn't like, oh, gracious Father, thou hast who art in heaven, hearest my prayer now, you know? Because that's the only kind that really gets through. You know that, right? No. It was just, okay, Lord. I'm a drunk and a druggie, and I don't know what I'm doing, but save me. And God says, you got it. That's why my son died, and that's coming from your heart. Isn't that sweet? It's funny to say that about a guy that big that it's sweet. But there is something weird. It's not that they're not manly. You know, Peter was kind of the rough, he's kind of got the reputation as the rough fisherman, the leader of the group, really, and all the guys. And yet Peter, when you read Peter's writings, how many times he says the word precious? Notice it. Next time you read, you know, first thing, notice, you know, Peter's talking, you know, he talks about precious, the precious, you know, this, and the precious, that, and precious. You know, Peter probably had the beard, you know, was kind of a burly guy, been, you know, pulling nets in his whole life. His arms were probably buff, you know, and he's a tough guy. And he comes and speaks at church, and he's talking about precious, you know. You're expecting him to say, be a man, you know, or something like that. But God does something. God does something in the heart of even the most brutal of men. They become tender. Tender because of the work that Lord does. And he says, you know what? You guys are my army. You're the army of God. And so you don't have to be great at physical army. You have to be just who you are and praying from the heart, no matter how, you know, unrefined it is. God says, you're doing warfare. It's battle. And notice God says also he desired to bring them out of Egypt by great judgments. And I love this because we need to understand that God desires to show his power to the world through great judgments and make it evident. I think that's neat because if God desires to show his power in great judgments, we make a good team because I desire to see it. How about you guys? I desire to see the hand of God move in great ways. And I love it when you see God move in great ways. It's exciting to me. Now, however, in this particular word here, the word for judgment, he's speaking of punishment. So it's not just great works or miracles. This is specifically speaking of punishing Pharaoh and those in Egypt who refused to repent because God has given them time to repent and they haven't. He's given them the time they needed. And so this really shows that the fact that if we're rebellious long enough, that refusal to repent, there will be a judgment. Now, here comes that, you know, tell it all, Moses. Tell it all. Yes, God loves you. He will forgive you. He died on the cross for you. He's gracious. He's merciful. All those things. But if I'm going to tell it all, as God instructed Moses and Aaron to tell it all, I have to also tell you he's a God of judgment. God judges as well. If we refuse to repent long enough, there's going to come a time where God will judge us. And it won't be pretty. But God is gracious and God is long-suffering. But we have to have the full gospel. And notice verse 5, he says, and the Egyptians, when I do this, these great judgments I'm going to do, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, not all their false gods that I'm about to judge in all these plagues. And we'll see God begin to judge the gods of Egypt in these plagues. That's what he does through the plagues. He's judging the gods of Egypt, showing he's greater. And we'll talk about those gods when we get to them and who they are. But he says, then they'll know I'm the Lord. Ra's not the Lord. You know, these other gods you serve aren't the Lord. I'm the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and I bring out the children of Israel from among them, because Pharaoh would certainly not let them go unless God made him let them go. He says, then they're going to know that I'm God because they're going to see what I do in Egypt and they're going to see what I do in Pharaoh. It's interesting. There's more than one purpose for God letting his people go free here in Egypt. Because notice what he says. He says, I'll bring out the children of Israel from among them and the Egyptians shall know. The Egyptians shall know. So note this, God wasn't just setting free the children of Israel, God was being a witness to the Gentiles. So what is my point in that? When God saves us, he's not just setting us free, which I'm very thankful for, but God is letting the world around us know there's a God in heaven who sets people free.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.